This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you digs it? You bet I can, Guy, because now the New England Patriots finally have a wide receiver one, a top target for second-year quarterback Drake May, and they're not screwing around. Goodbye, reputation of being the cheap Patriots. Hello, being a team that's going to try to get after the AFC East and revitalize their image of being a bad bunch of MFers. I love it when the Patriots make big Tuesday night signings. It gives me a reason to connect with you guys on a live Six Rings podcast. Let's go.
Hey, whatever it takes, man.
It's all about winning, all right? Winning on three. One, two, three. Win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Brogan. All around it. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri booms a 48-yard field goal, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
Hello to the Foxborough faithful, my Patriots people, and everyone else from the wide world of Gillette Stadium and beyond. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens here with you on an emergency Six Rings and Football Things podcast. Been a while since we've had a good reason to do one of these emergency podcasts because the Patriots decided to spend some money. That's right, it's not your money. Well, I mean, technically it is because you guys fill the seats, you guys stream the games, you buy the merchandise, the hot dogs, the beer, all that jazz. But we all knew the New England Patriots had a bunch of things and a bunch of needs. Some of those things they had included a lot of money to spend this free agent period. I need to get a number one top target for Drake May. I need to improve the wide receiver room overall. A reason to try to keep defensive coordinators and opposing secondaries up at night and to shift the culture of the team overall. Oh, plus again, they had a lot of money to spend. So, did they get Chris Godwin? Nope. Were they able to get any of the other top wide receiver targets on the free agent market? They were not. But did they go and trade for a former public enemy? Did they rather sign a former public enemy number one of the New England Patriots? Someone you love to hate. Someone you just took such joy in rooting against. In Steph Diggs, who absolutely ate the New England Patriots breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right up in front of them, he took their milkshake. He took it and he drank it up on a regular basis for years while playing with the Buffalo Bills. And now the Patriots sign him, coming off of an ACL, a non-contact ACL, last October when he was on a one-year deal with the Houston Texans. They sign him to a three-year, $69 million nice deal to be the top target for Drake May, the wide receiver number one of the Patriots, a dog for Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels. I got to tell you, quite honestly, I'm shocked. I'm flabbergasted. I'm stunned. I can't believe it. Can this work out? Absolutely. Can this be an awesome move? Could this be the unheralded, unforeseen, unbelievable move of the offseason? You betcha, Buckaroo. And could this blow up in their face as it has previously in other locations like most everywhere he's played? Absolutely. But I'm for it. Ah, you're kidding me, Fitzy. No way. You love the Foxborough fanboy loves another move that the Patriots made? Get out of here. That's a shocker. I love this move. Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah, I love this for you. Okay. Yeah, I love this for me. I love this for all of us. And I especially love this for Drake May and the Patriots offense, which, if we're going to be quite honest, had not improved seriously. Going into 2025 with Mac Hollins as wide receiver number one wasn't even a good joke, let alone a possibility or a reality. The Pats needed to upgrade the wide receiver room. They needed to make the offense what the locker room can sometimes be when Steph Diggs isn't happy, and that's dangerous. There are so many possibilities with what Steph Diggs can do for this Patriots offense. But first, let's check in with you guys. The good people of Pats Nation as we record this Emergency Six Rings podcast on a Tuesday night, March 25th, 2025. Looks like Pats people by and large. Okay, here we go. So some people, let's go, LFG. I love it. No, this will not calm down my Ladd McConkey obsession in any way, shape, or form. I may never forgive the Wolf of Ball Street for that move. Okay, one person in the comment section, Pats fan Ben, this feels like Sanu 2.0. Okay, Sanu wasn't even washed when they traded for him. It was the busted up ankle after the Philadelphia. All right, I don't even want to go down that road. Wow, how about this? Robert Kraft actually did his big one off, had his big offseason. Okay, all right, here's a good one. The old man mob watching right now live on YouTube. I really like this move. It's a cheap deal if Diggs only 50% of what he was. He's still better than most of the wide receivers the Pats have had. He's the best wide receiver on the New England Patriots, guys, with one leg, let alone the two that are hopefully healthy by the time they kick off the season this September. Let's just quickly examine exactly what this can mean for the Pats offense and the Pats wide receiver room. All right. Personally, I like the idea of Steph Diggs coming in because he gets to immediately walk in to the Patriots wide receiver room. You know, after he signs the deal, he smiles pretty. He does the hype, you know, IGs, you know, they'll probably give him the social admin's phone and be like, "What's up, Pats Nation? You used to love to root against me, and now you get to root for me." That's right, Steph Diggs. I'm a member of the New England Patriots. Can't wait to get to work with Drake and Josh and everyone. LFG, blah, blah, blah. You heard it all before. And then when he's touring Gillette Stadium and says, "Wow, I sure hope they kind of gussy this place up a little bit. A new practice facility over there is going to be nice." He's going to be able to walk into that wide receiver room, or he can get on a FaceTime with everyone else. Baker, Booty, yes, even Polk for now, Kendrick Bourne, Pop Douglas, all of them, and say, "Here's the thing, guys. See, I'm Steph Diggs, and you're not. And everywhere I've gone, I've improved the quality of play for the quarterback and the offense. I was awesome in Minnesota. I did things with Josh Allen in Buffalo that were so great that now people talk about needing to get a Steph Diggs to open up the potential for a young quarterback in a developing offense. And last year, when some people said I was on the downside of my career, I was on target for over 100 catches and well over 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in Houston with an offensive coordinator that was doing such a bad job, he got fired. So if any of y'all MFers want to get targets, if you guys want to get catches, if you guys want to get touchdowns, guess what you're going to have to do? Go through me. Guess what you're going to have to do? Prove to Vrabel, prove to McDaniels, and prove to my new bestie, Drake May, that you deserve the football. Because I'm here, and I'm coming for all the targets. I want all the smoke. I want all the coverage. I want all the heat. I want all of it. He got paid like a wide receiver one. He didn't get paid Jamar Chase money. He didn't even get T. Higgins money. 3 years, $69 million. Nice. $26 million guaranteed. So basically a little bit more than 1 year. If it blows up and doesn't work out, they spent too much money on him. But at least they took a chance. So you can't say the Pats didn't take a chance. You can't say the Pats didn't go for it. You can't say the Pats were playing Patsy. And you can't say that the Pats were being cheap. Enough of that narrative. You can blow that out your ass. That one can kick rocks without socks. But also, they're trying to do something for Drake May. Obviously, there's a principle that was proven. There's an Exhibit A that worked, that just showcased it to you. You saw it twice a year firsthand. Diggs cooked the Patriots no matter who they put on him, single and double coverage, religiously for several years. And he even did so last year when they came in Drake May's debut game and won 40-21 with C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. He was impossible to cover then as well, which might be why Christian Gonzalez was putting out hype tweets on Twitter about an hour ago after news of the signing broke as well. I don't mind. And to anyone who says like, "Wow, I thought they spent the whole offseason, you know, trying to fix the culture of the Patriots. You know, he's a bad egg. He's a malcontent. He's going to sour Drake May and turn everyone into a ruthless, self-centered jerk in that room." To which I say, "Okay." Now you might not like that, and I'm sure that's not going to be the case because you do have a lot of strong personalities still in that locker room. You got a hell of a big personality with Mike Vrabel as well. And Drake May seems like a cool dude. Here, to that point of suddenly Steph Diggs just, you know, spoiling the locker room and making it uncomfortable and unpleasant and just a bad place to play. He's only gone off the deep end and done what he's done when the situation has soured. Obviously, his relationship with Josh Allen went south. That's why he ended up getting traded to the Texans. He wanted top dollars. He wanted to be the top dog in Minnesota. They weren't going to give it to him. It wasn't going to work out. So they ship him off to Buffalo. And then all of a sudden, they unlock the, you know, next level. They get ninja mode out of Josh Allen. Goat mode, totally engaged. And that was a dynamite connection for a couple of years until obviously it really wasn't anymore as well. I don't know how the medicals checked out. I got a lot of people right now in the comment section saying, here we go. Hope the doctors have a second job lined up. Sometimes these ACLs never become the same. Look, about that, like the Patriots would not have signed him to that kind of wide receiver one money with that kind of money guaranteed unless they liked the workout, unless they liked the medicals, unless they liked the exam, unless they basically liked everything. He hadn't met with any other team. So you can say, if anything, they negotiated against themselves. There was not another competitive offer, to the best of our knowledge, for Steph Diggs out there. Oh, and by the way, Tom Curran from NBC Sports Boston put out there onto our radio station, WEEI, on Tuesday, that to this notion of, the Patriots were staying as far away as they could from any bad guy wide receiver because they didn't want any malcontents with their shitty attitudes in the locker room. They did pursue DK Metcalf, and no one has ever even really said that DK Metcalf is a pain in the ass or that he can be too difficult to deal with. Sure, he's a diva, but most top wide receivers should be. It's a tough job, and you want them to be elite and think they're the best of the best up there, Top Gun style. You know what I mean? They did pursue him. Guess what? He didn't want to come here. So now, in Steph Diggs, sure, you get somebody who's, you know, being sold for 75 cents on the dollar because of the bum wheel. But maybe it's actually going to be okay by this fall. I'm no doctor, nor did I play one on TV or ever stay at a Holiday Inn Express, but I can't imagine the Patriots would be spending crazy money like that unless they thought he could really round back into form this year and maybe give them solid to above to plus level to borderline elite play this and next year as well. This also buys the Patriots time to draft another wide receiver or two this year or next, and try to have them study under Diggs, work with him as he gets paid probably what is the last significant contract of his career, where he and Cardi B and the rest of the big old Diggs family will now have made several hundred million dollars. I can imagine it should do him for a little while at least. Old Man Mob watching live on YouTube as we record the latest Six Rings of Football things, emergency pod style. The Patriots just signed Diggs. Diggs. From someone who lives in Buffalo, New York, Diggs helped Allen and took his talent to the next level. Ah, here we go. A Pats fan from Norway checking in. Eric Massimo Hershtagen. Pats fan from Norway here. Next must to be to improve the O-line. Was supposed to go to sleep at 1 a.m., but who needs a job these days anyway? Good point, Eric, and we appreciate you checking in as well. Yes, fixing the offensive line is the next. That is the top priority, A, number one. You heard Julian Edelman on his podcast earlier today saying, if I'm the Patriots, when it comes to the draft, I do everything I can to fix the offensive line and protect Drake. Build from the inside out. That's how winning gets done. Couldn't agree anymore. All right. Nick checking in on Facebook. Everywhere Diggs leaves, they get better. I mean, I guess Buffalo got better, but you can't really argue with the fact that Buffalo was really good when Diggs was there as well. He's a pain in the ass. Okay, a lot of the really good football players, athletic talents, receivers, etc., are pains in the ass. Do the Patriots now have the leadership, the structure, the toughness to deal with his pain in the assery, if you will, withstand that and tell him, like, you know, just you'll get your targets. Just go do your flexibility exercises. Go do your stretching and your rehab. And when it's time, light it up and go be the guy that used to catch six passes for over 100 yards and a touchdown every time he played us. Diggs' numbers against the Patriots were bananas. Yes, once again, it's one of those classic cases where it's like, ooh, this is weird. So now I have to root for the guy that I was basically kind of like raised to or just grew to love to hate. And now he's on my team. Those are always weird. Those are emotional purple nurples, if you know what I mean. Like, those are never easy. Hey, the enemy of my enemy is my enemy, and now your enemy is your ally. And if he can do what he did for Drake May, what he did with Josh Allen, all the better. I am perfectly content with it, just so long as he doesn't tell the crowd to do the things that he used to tell the crowd to do in the end zone back when he would score touchdowns for Buffalo. okay, it's going to sell shirts. I got you. For Pats fans, we need hope. Yes, this also represents just a little bit of hope as well. Okay, guys. All right, everyone, settle down. This is not Randy Moss 2.0. Randy Moss was at the tail end of his prime, but hadn't basically been utilized properly in 2 years' time. He hot-dogged and sat out those 2 years with the Raiders and then, you know, kicked it up a notch when he and Tommy Boy got together. It's true. Buffalo did not go to the Super Bowl after Steph Diggs left. They haven't been to the Super Bowl in a long time. Stop me if you heard this, but the Bills have never won a Super Bowl. So don't you just love, by the way, how much zestier now Pat's Bills is going to be? Like, we had a real, like, the game in Buffalo last December was actually good for the first half. Remember, the Pats came out, they were focused, they were poised, they scored on their first two drives, it was 14-0. And then they kind of crapped the bed the rest of the way and went back into supposed tank mode. And then they won the last game of the year against Buffalo, no less. Well, that ain't going to be the case anymore. These are going to be some heated, contentious, rivalrous games the way they should be. I've been saying all along, I think 9-8 is on the table with this schedule, maybe even 10-7. I'm not saying now that the Patriots with Steph Diggs are coming for the crown that Buffalo took from them rightly 5 years ago when Tom Brady left town. And it seems like Belichick kind of started to lose the devastating hoodie fastball. No, they're not coming for the crown just yet, but you can make Buffalo sweat. You can make them think about you. You can make them worry about you just a little bit, and you can get your act together. I, too, am glad to see that the Oats, and I know you meant Pats, are serious Shadowland 1999. Good stuff, you guys. All right. Oh, so here we go. Here's an interesting comment from Slater. Slater, watching live on YouTube as we record the latest Six Rings. Diggs is the same as OBJ. Media drums up all these clicks by calling him a diva, but what did they really do other than want to win and or earn money? How about that? How about that? What they gonna say now, huh? What they gonna say now? Good stuff, Slater. It's refreshing to see the Patriots rebuilding. I agree with you, Mario. I agree with you 100%. No more, again, would the Patriots never get the guy that everybody else thinks that they should get. They never get the top targets. They never get who they want. No more would the Patriots it cheap. They don't ever spend money. And also, yes, by the way, it is hilarious that the Patriots get Steph Diggs and the majority of Pats Nation is excited. Meanwhile, the New York Giants just signed Russell Wilson and all the Giants fans in my life that I know want to light themselves on fire. So good luck with that. Here is one little draft nugget I do want to run over real quick. So what does the Steph Diggs signing mean for the Patriots vis-a-vis who they go after at the top of the draft? Well, the New York Giants are not going to sign Russell Wilson and then not take a quarterback. They're going to have Russell Wilson be the one-year veteran mentor to somebody. Now, is it going to be Shedeur Sanders at three? Are they going to go Shedeur third overall? Or do they wait to the second round, maybe get a guy like Quinn Ewers, or see if they can trade up a little bit for Jackson Dart if they feel like a late first round QB run is going to happen? We'll see. But if so, if the buzz starts to build, I know Deion Sanders was saying that he really wants Shedeur Sanders to go to the Giants. He thinks that's the best situation for his son. We know whatever Deion usually says he wants, he gets. That's the case. Cleveland can either take Travis Hunter at two, which leaves Abdul Carter at four, or they can take Abdul Carter at two, leaving Travis Hunter at four. And I'll just leave you with this. Imagine the Patriots offense. After all these years of saying, ugh, God, watching the Patriots offense is like watching old turtles hump. God, this is terrible. Imagine now if they could have Steph Diggs on his last prove-it deal, trying to be a badass, add to his legacy, maybe write a little Hall of Fame resume, get the Patriots into the playoffs, do for Drake May what he did for Josh Allen, and add Travis Hunter to the mix. Woo-wee! That would be something. And yes, by the way, thank you for whoever just, oh yeah, that's right. Aha, that's right. Jameis Winston is also there in New York. Man, what fun it's going to be to watch Winston versus Wilson. This, please put Hard Knocks with the Giants this summer. Oh my God, that will be absolutely awesome. Thank you, Riaz. I appreciate you very much. Oh, okay. Good super chat question. Thanks so much. Do you think the Patriots will try to trade back for Tet McMillan, Amika Ibuka, or Matthew Golden, maybe add a second or third rounder, then a left tackle in round two? Personally, if Carter, that's a great question, Riaz, thank you. If the Patriots don't see who they want it for, like let's say Carter and Hunter are both gone, they're obviously not going to take a quarterback. They already have the quarterback of the future in Joe Milton. Psych. So what I would love for them to do, my want, my wish, is for the Pats to do exactly that. Trade back 2, 3, 4 slots. Let someone else jump up and go, ooh, that's okay. Yeah, we like Sanders. We there's somebody we like here at 4. Get that extra second or third. Then you move back to 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever. Either take Tet McMillan or find the tackle you want. Maybe it's Will Campbell. Probably not. I think it might be Kelvin Banks. Maybe the Membu kid is still available then. Then what you do is you take that extra second rounder that somebody just gave you to move up a couple spots, pair it with one of your thirds, get back in to the end of the first round. Or if you have to go 2-2s, that's fine too. And then you either get the wide receiver you want in Matthew Golden or another tackle, whether it's Ursary or the kid from Oregon. And you leave round one comfortable, content with a left tackle of the future, a possible successor to Steph Diggs at wide receiver one. That's what I'm talking about. That's how winning is done at the draft. I think that would be an awesome plan. But yeah, I'm kind of with everybody else at the same time. Tough to deny the talents of Travis Hunter. He would be awesome. Hunter and Diggs and Hunter Henry and any one of the Jags that are currently in the wide receiver room that feel like getting their act together. Okay, Jeff Stenberg, here we go. He's got Ward going one, Carter at two, Hunter at three. Pat's kind of stuck looking for a trade. It could be the case. We'll see how it works out, my guys. All right. I think that, the BC offensive tackle. Hey, Joe McBride, what's up, my guy? Yeah, you know what? Ozzie Trapia in the third round. He trained with Dante Scarnecchia, got the local ties. Vrabel loves BC, loves Bill O'Brien. His kid went there. I could see that maybe working out as a later kind of day two value play for the Patriots. But the big news tonight, guys, the reason why we all jumped in. Oh, I love this. Thank you very much. Juru427 watching on YouTube. 10-win season incoming. That's what I'm talking about. The New England Patriots signed Steph Diggs. So now we can all place a lot of stock and faith in whenever wide receivers and quarterbacks, we don't know who did it first, follow each other on Instagram. The eyeball emojis mean something, Pats people. They mean something. And that's what's up. The Patriots now have an official wide receiver one. He is in rehabilitation. We will all be following the progress, recouping, recovery, rehabbing, and more of Steph Diggs this offseason. And yes, you now have to root for someone you used to love to root against, who seemed to hate the very moves and the very fiber of your jersey and being. Probably because he wanted to come for what they used to have with in the days of prime Belichick and Brady. He almost got there, never did. I'm not saying he's getting there once again, but what he is getting is paid. He's going to be getting at least $26 million guaranteed and possibly more. And I think it is great for the Patriots. If it works out, awesome. If it doesn't, they tried. And that's all you can ask, right? All right, folks, that'll do for tonight's episode. A little quick, impromptu, very fun, participatory, Six Rings and Football Things. Thank you guys for tuning in. I think the Giants will go get Hunter Fitz. I hope not, says Brian Phelps. We'll see about that. Yes, the Browns do need a quarterback as well. I mean, if they take Shedeur Sanders at two, that still leaves you Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter 3-4. You're going to get one of the two. So you're either going to get a generational pass rusher or a generational hybrid talent who can improve both sides of the football. So we'll see how she works out. Genty at four looks a little different. Okay. We'll see about that. Oh, and the time frame for Steph Diggs could be week one. Wes Welker came back only 8 months after tearing his ACL in January of 2010. Played a season where he admitted that he didn't really feel like himself and kind of had a hard time. Didn't really feel like he was back in shape until December. The tail end of that year was probably his worst year professionally until he chose sadness and joined Satan Manning and the Denver Broncos in 2013. I wouldn't be surprised if Steph Diggs is back week one because it was non-contact. The rehab is supposedly going great. Looks like he's already cutting, has some of his burst back. So as long as that keeps going the right way, I wouldn't be surprised if Diggs is back week one. Not the way things went for Kendrick Bourne after he tore it in Miami and then didn't really round into shape till the tail end of last year. He looks like he's got some of his burst back too. So, and we've got our burst back, baby. Oh, I'm excited. I'm so excited. The draft is in a month. Stay tuned. As many podcasts, as much Six Rings love, WEEI love, Fitzy GFY love, and so much more that we could possibly give you guys to get you pumped and jacked for the draft and the upcoming Patriots season. So until next time, thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you guys have an awesome night. Your old pal at Fitzy GFY here for Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. Can you digs it? Foxborough is Digstown. We got a wide receiver one in the house. And Drake May domination mode has been engaged. Good day. God bless everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, go Pats.